of it.
Fury boiled in her veins. She couldn't afford to let the news Austin had brought cripple her. We have to find out if someone tried to kill me in the fire last night. Despite what happened between us before, Austin just happens to be one of the only people I trust, besides you, of course. Don't you agree we could use his help? We have to put the past behind us.
Just so you remember that, and don't fall for him again.
Don't worry.
Never going to happen.
That should be the least of her worries.
He's not for you, Willow.
JT would disagree. Look, there's no point in talking about this, so let's just move on.
You're right.
I'm sorry if I sound like a nosy friend, a manipulating mother. I don't mean to be.
I'm just worried about you.
Willow gave Dana a quick hug. I'm glad I have someone who cares. Melancholy threatened to grip her, but she focused on Mrs. Mason's case. If only I hadn't lost JT's notes in the fire.
You know, there are more of JT's notes at the warehouse, Dana said. In fact, we should get what we can and put it in a safer place. I can hardly believe any of this has happened.
Is happening. We should hire someone to put in a security system, too. Someone burned down our house, and they might go after the warehouse next. How quickly she'd gone from considering closing the business to wanting to fight for it. But solving Mrs. Mason's case would be telling. Was Willow as talented as her grandfather had been at solving the unsolvable?
We have a friend in the security business. I'll see if Stan can get something done tonight,
Dana hesitated.
I have to say I agree with Austin on one thing. I wish you wouldn't pursue finding her daughter now, if that would mean putting you in more danger.
Too late. I can't turn back. Whoever was behind this would regret targeting Willow or her grandfather. They'd created a resolve in her to find Jamie she hadn't had before. She hoped her bravado held up. Fear might paralyze her if she stood still too long. To hide her shaking hands, she said, I'll go up and grab my... Oh, yeah. She'd lost her purse containing her identification in the fire. It reminded her of everything she needed to replace in order to exist in this world. Fortunately, her passport should still be in the safe at Anderson Consulting along with JT's. She still needed to contact her insurance agency about the house. There was so much to do, the weight of it could overwhelm her. She rubbed her head. Okay, let's get to the warehouse first and gather all the pertinent files. While we wait there for security, I can call the insurance company and Mrs. Mason.
Sounds like a plan.
We'll pick up something to eat on the way. Stan can grab his own dinner and contact our security system friend to meet us there. Dana touched Willow's arm. Even though I'd prefer you didn't work on the Mason case. I'm glad you're picking up the pieces to move forward. But don't push yourself, please.
I'll be fine.
At some point, the police should contact her about what happened to JT. And at that time, she would tell them everything she knew about this open case. But she preferred to get her hands on the rest of his notes about Mrs. Mason before she spoke to them.
I'll get my purse and car keys. We can ride together.
Dana disappeared up the stairs. Stan had moved Willow's vehicle to their home and parked it in the garage in lieu of his own vehicle. Hiding it? Smart man.
Chapter 12. Tuesday, 9:14 p.m., Anderson Consulting Office. Willow sat at JT's desk at the Anderson Consulting office in the Too Big warehouse, copying files from his computer onto a thumb drive she could keep close. Images of the notes she'd taken home, now turned to ash, accosted her. Instead of keeping the drive close, she would put it in a safety deposit box in a bank. JT always backed up his computer to a hard drive and to the cloud, but she wanted an additional copy of anything to do with Mrs. Mason that no one knew about or could access. It seems strange that he'd completed his other projects and was working only on the Mason case. It was almost as if he knew his time was short, just like Mrs. Mason's time. Could that be why he took on this seemingly impossible task for a desperate and dying woman? His one last chance to solve the impossible? Again? He would go out with a bang. If that was true, JT hadn't known just how short his time was. Willow fought the sudden nausea, refocused her attention on the work at hand. Exhaustion threatened. The sooner she finished this, the sooner she could climb into bed and sleep for a decade. Still, she probably should also make sure to get additional copies of all their clients' files, including the hard copy files and the boxed archives. But that could take hours, if not days. Anderson Consulting's primary source of income came from the forensic genealogy side of their business, used more in cases of the dead searching for the living, or rather, the search for a lost heir. The deceased had bequeathed property, and the heir must be located. The living searching for the dead was a close second in terms of sources of income. With so many genealogist hobbyists out there, people were often surprised that anyone would have need for a professional genealogist. But it was specifically because of the hobbyists and people's enormous interest in learning where they came from, their family history, that professionals were needed. Often, a hobbyist created a family tree by gathering primary source documents, birth, marriage, and death certificates, which were easily found online through genealogy sites or the states where the event occurred, to prove dates. Online groups were populated with professionals who offered free advice. It was the brick walls, as they were called. When someone was stuck and couldn't go any further in their search, that motivated people to hire a professional genealogist. Sometimes records were accessible only through state or county archives or historical societies. Other times, a person might discover through DNA testing that they weren't who they thought they were. Maybe they didn't have the time, the expertise, or even the desire to search, but they had money to hire someone. Like 97-year-old Albert Schmidt, a Holocaust survivor who was separated from his family as a child and as an adult desperately searched for his roots. He hadn't even known who his family was. JT had spent months working for him, traveling to Germany and Poland, scouring museums, digging for answers. Thanks to JT, Albert found and met his family 2 months before he died. His story, just one of so many. Thoughts of Albert and his history gave her pause. Willow should make the effort to better preserve all the information they'd gathered over the years, so this maniac couldn't destroy anything more in their attempt to prevent Willow from discovering the truth, if that's what's going on. In Mrs. Mason's case, it wasn't the living searching for the dead or vice versa, but the living searching for the living. Willow hoped. She'd called Mrs. Mason on the drive over to the warehouse and left a voicemail asking for a callback. She wanted to inform her of JT's death, which would come as a shock, as it had to anyone who had known him. The man had so much life left in him. The jolt of his unexpected death rolled through her anew. People told her time would heal the pain, but she hoped she never grew numb to it. She dreaded Mrs. Mason's reaction. That might do Willow in for the day. It was obvious from the video session that Mrs. Mason clearly liked JT, as did everyone, except for the person driving the car that hit him on his bike that day. Don't even go there. Thinking about the video of the instant someone hit him would distract Willow from her purpose. She could lie in bed and let the pain destroy her. The bruises to her mind and soul keep her debilitated for days and weeks, maybe even months. Or she could pick herself up and work through it, maybe even accomplish something in the end, such as finding Jamie Mason. Getting to the bottom of JT's murder and the arson, though that side of things she'd leave to the actual authorities. Still, the two were connected. Her instincts told her that much. Despite his vast experience as a board-certified genealogist and licensed attorney, JT was all about listening to his intuition. He tried to instill that same sense in Willow. Dana entered the office carrying a box of files and plopped it on the desk. What's that? First thing JT did after talking to Mrs. Mason was file an FOIPA request, Freedom of Information Privacy Act request, with the FBI regarding her missing child's case. This is a box with a hard copy of everything to do with her case, but it has only a few files from the FBI. I think he wanted Austin to speak with the caseworker and see if he could find out more. Willow had already taken home JT's notes reflecting his thoughts, everything she would have needed to move forward. She hadn't even taken the time to read them before they were lost in the fire. A pang stabbed through her. So you're saying there's not much useful in those files? I didn't say that. In fact, Willow's cell phone rang. It's Mrs. Mason. She snatched up the call. Willow Anderson speaking. Miss Anderson, this is Caitlin Mason. I'm returning your call. Thanks, Mrs. Mason. Please call me Willow. She squeezed her eyes shut. Breathe. Steady now. We haven't found your daughter yet. That's not why I'm calling. Willow hesitated. Though I do have some news to share with you. She let the tone in her voice prepare Mrs. Mason. Oh? I wanted you to know that my grandfather, JT, has... She swallowed the unshed tears. He's gone.
Gone?
What do you mean? He was killed.
In an accident, she'd almost added, but that likely wasn't true anymore.
Oh, dear. I'm so terribly sorry to hear this news. So sorry for your loss. Thank you. Please know that I will do everything in my power to continue the search for your missing daughter. That is, if you'll allow Anderson Consulting to continue with the case. A brief silence met the line before Mrs. Mason answered. He spoke very highly of you, Willow. I know you'll do him proud. I don't mean to be insensitive, but may I ask what happened?
Willow hung her head. How much should she tell the woman?
He was on his bike. It was a hit and run.
Mrs. Mason gasped.
Again, I can't tell you how sorry I am. In the short time I knew him, I'd grown quite fond of him. I know he will be greatly missed. Mrs. Mason, Caitlin, please.
All right. Caitlin, there's more.
Should I do this? What is it? I can't be sure, and because of that, I don't know if I should even say anything. But last night, someone burned down the house I shared with JT.
I'm listening.
And I've been told the police now consider his death suspicious. You mean they think someone tried to run him over on purpose? That it wasn't an accident?
Yes, I think so.
They found the car that hit him. It had been stolen.
Willow calmed her breathing, steadied herself for what she had to ask Caitlin.
Do you think JT's death could be related to his search for your missing daughter?
The woman released a heavy sigh.
That just seems impossible. Someone would have to know that Anderson Consulting was searching. How would the abductor even find out? Besides, it's been so long since the actual abduction that they must believe they will never be caught. The FBI looked at every possible connection to me years ago. I'd come into some money, but there was no ransom note. You can read about that in the files, I'm sure. Money wasn't the reason for her abduction. Besides, Anderson Consulting isn't the first company I've hired to investigate. No one has ever been attacked or killed for it. Ultimately, the FBI determined the woman who walked out with Jamie was a stranger.
The abduction was random. She posed as a nurse, which isn't uncommon when someone wants to snatch a baby from a hospital. At the time, I thought I was dying from leukemia. The doctors hadn't given me any hope of living much longer, especially since I refused treatment while pregnant with Jamie. But then my leukemia went into remission. If only my baby hadn't been stolen, I could have spent the time that was given back to me with her, raising her, loving her. Her father, my husband Cliff, had died before she was born, so it would have been just the two of us. As it was, such a significant loss should have killed me, but instead it fueled my resolve to find her. But then, nothing. I've spent a lot of money over the years hiring investigators, and each of them left me more discouraged. Then I read the article about JT finding Albert Schmidt's family and about some of JT's other cases, and I hoped he was the one. She sniffed, clearly upset by the turn of events. I believe JT was able to get some of the information about that cold case to start. Do you have it?
Yes, but I haven't had a chance to look at it. I wanted to call you first to tell you what's happened. And maybe you should speak to the FBI about reopening the case. Tell them you've hired a private investigative group to find your daughter and you suspect someone is trying to prevent that from happening. I'd be happy to talk to them.
Do you have proof of this, Willow?
Willow cleared her throat.
Not yet.
It's all circumstantial, if that's what you're getting at. I don't know that any of what's happened is tied to finding Jamie, but the police will ask why someone would want to burn down the house, why someone would want to kill JT. I want you to know that I'm going to suggest to them that this could be related to your daughter's case.
I understand, and you're being smart about it. I'll call the FBI after I'm off the phone with you to share what's happened and to see if I can get movement on my end.
Wait. No.
Oh, no. I just remembered.
Caitlin breathed heavily.
Oh, Willow. It's all my fault.
What are you talking about? What's your fault?
I can't believe it.
Caitlin, please tell me.
A couple of weeks after I hired JT, a reporter approached me from the Houston Sun. He was writing an article on abducted babies. There had been a string of abductions in the area, black market babies, they call them. It just breaks my heart. So the reporter looked me up and asked me about my story, because my baby was never found. I told them I had hired your grandfather to find who stole my baby, even though it had happened over 2 decades ago. The article was featured on the national news. I'm surprised you didn't see it. But then again, there are too many distractions these days.
She sighed.
This could be all my fault.
I don't see how it can possibly be your fault. Don't you?
Whoever took Jamie saw the story on the news. They don't want you to find her. Like me, they believe Anderson Consulting is up to the task. In light of all this, I'm sorry, but I'd like to cancel my request that you investigate.
What?
Oh, Caitlin, please don't do this. Please give me the chance to find your daughter, the same chance you gave my grandfather. There's no reason why the FBI can't re-examine the case, too, if they will even consider it. In the meantime, I'll look into things following the same methods my grandfather taught me. Remember why you hired him. You said he could do miracles.
Yes, I remember. I just don't want you to get hurt. I don't think it'll matter if I stop searching. The person responsible has no way of knowing my plans, one way or another. Quitting now won't change anything. I had planned to call you last night and tell you I couldn't continue the search for Jamie. In other words, I had planned to drop the case. What did it matter?
The house was burned anyway. See what I'm saying? I almost died. I believe finding Jamie is the only way I'll reveal the truth about what happened to JT. What happened to the house? If the fire and his death have nothing to do with Jamie, then it doesn't matter. At least I will have continued to search for her. I hope to find her. Please let me continue.
Willow held her breath.
Okay, you're right. Maybe I'm making a mistake, but I feel I have to try this one last time to find her,
Caitlin said.
Willow slowly released the breath, unsure if it was relief that surged through her.
That's all I can ask.
I'll let you know something as soon as there's anything to tell.
Be careful, Willow.
She ended the call. Wide-eyed, Dana sat across from her.
That was intense. Willow steepled her hands and pressed them against her nose.
I'm really doing this, aren't I?
Yes, you are. When I encouraged you to take on this project, I didn't know about the danger.
All the more reason to call Austin. She had told him if she decided to take the case, she wanted his help. Maybe having him along as protection would be a good idea, too. She should have called him sooner, but she hadn't known what Caitlin would say.
A loud pop resounded in the warehouse. Willow stiffened, shared a look with Dana.
What was that?
I don't know.
Dana slowly rose from her chair and rubbed her arms.
I wish Stan would hurry up and get here with Phil.
Willow stood too and crept from JT's office. She wished there wasn't so much empty space in the warehouse. The back part of the building remained dark. Why pay to light the whole thing when they used only the front renovated portion? Maybe she should flip on those lights, but the switch was in the back. Something moved in the shadows. Or someone.
Chapter 13. Tuesday, 9:38 p.m., Anderson Consulting Office. Austin sat in his Acura across the street from the Anderson Consulting Office. Uninvited, of course. If she didn't want him to help her investigate or even protect her, then she could hire someone else. He kept thinking of Michael Croft. Maybe he should have shared that grisly story with her before he'd walked out like an idiot, resolving to wait for her to contact him this time. In the meantime, he would be her shadow.
Just call me, Willow. 8 o'clock had bled into well after 9, and with the time, his resolution slowly drained into the night. He'd had no intention of barging in on her again or trying to force his way into her life to assist. Unfortunately, too much had already gone wrong for him to walk away and never look back. But what if she didn't call? Would that mean she wasn't going to investigate the missing girl? Or that she simply didn't want to see him? Man, he hated this kind of torture. The lights went out. Not just the office lights, but the security light as well. Tension jolted through his already taut muscles. Grabbing his Glock and flashlight, he slowly opened the door and slid out of the car. The darkness could mean nothing more than that the ladies were exiting the office to head home. That is, if it weren't for the security light. That was suspicious. His sudden appearance might startle them, but that was a reasonable price to pay. Crossing the street, he crept closer, grateful for the city lights reflecting off the clouds in the night sky. He wouldn't use his flashlight yet. He didn't want to draw unwanted attention to himself. He waited at the glass door and windows that made up the office portion of the industrial-sized warehouse and peered inside. His attempt to see anything in the darkness was fruitless. As the seconds passed, fear rippled through him. The women hadn't come out. They wouldn't remain inside in the dark without a good reason, and all of the reasons crossing his mind were bad. He tried the door. Locked.
Willow, he called.
Austin broke through the glass door entrance to the office, sending huge shards to the carpeted foyer.
Then he faced off with another locked door, this one steel. Willow, it's me, are you all right? He called while kicking the steel door. It didn't budge. The adrenaline rush minimized the pain shooting through his leg. Willow hadn't responded to his calls. His heart jackhammered. She was in danger. I'm going to shoot the lock. Stay back. He had no way of knowing what he would face on the other side, but he had to give fair warning. He fired his gun twice. With the door jamb and lock obliterated, now was his chance. He pushed the door open. Darkness engulfed him. Shining his flashlight now could make him an easy target, so he slid to the right and pressed against the wall. Waited for his eyes to adjust, if possible, in the total blackness. And listened. His own too heavy breathing resounded. Letting his military training kick in, he forced a calm into his body that he didn't feel. Footfalls approached to his left. His pulse ratcheted up. Was it Willow or Dana? His gut told him neither. He resisted turning on his flashlight. Not yet. Did whoever approached know he stood in their path? Were they coming for him? Or were they headed for the open door to escape? He fired his weapon into the ground to warn them to back off. Stop or I'll shoot! Tingles ran over his arms. Instinct took over and he ducked. Air whooshed over his head as something large and deadly drove past him and then clanged to the floor. He lunged low to launch into the assailant but missed. Austin whipped around. The shadowy silhouette of a man dashed through the open door. Glass crunched underfoot as the man fled. Austin's attention returned to finding Willow. He hoped that had been the only assailant. He flicked on his flashlight to search for her while he called 911. The assailant was getting away, but Austin couldn't follow. He had to look for Willow. She and Dana could be hurt. Or worse. Are you okay? Willow! Where are you? Please say something. His heart in his throat, Austin battled through his fear. The warehouse creaked, but Willow didn't answer. A pungent odor overwhelmed him the deeper he went into the building. Gasoline. Chapter 14.
Shh. I hear something.
Crouched between dusty cardboard boxes, Willow gripped Dana's moist hand as they huddled in the dark closet. When she'd realized someone was in the warehouse with obviously nefarious intentions, Willow had wanted to go for the lights, to chase away the shadows and reveal their uninvited guest's identity, but he'd already found the breaker box and put them all in the dark. Dana had screamed. Without hesitation, Willow had grabbed Dana's hand and pulled the woman with her as she blindly made her way down the short hallway back to JT's office. She'd shut and locked the door so it looked like all the other doors. Then they'd gone into the closet to hide. If she'd had a weapon, maybe she could have used it to protect them. She would never go anywhere without a gun again. The one she owned had been tucked in a drawer in the bedside table at the house. In the closet, she'd tried to call 911. Before the call had connected, a noise resounded at the office door. If they kept quiet, maybe he would move to the next door. She feared speaking into the phone would give them away, so she'd put off making that call. Seconds later, someone called her name.
I think it's Austin.
She stood to open the closet door, but Dana snatched her back.
Wait, you don't know that,
she whispered. Willow! His familiar voice wrapped her with relief.
Listen, don't you hear that? It's Austin.
Willow! Louder now. She thrust open the closet door. We're in here! A crash reverberated and the office door jarred wide open. Light beamed into her eyes. Willow! His pure, electrified relief shot through her like a thousand bolts of lightning as he pulled her into his arms. She buried her face into his neck,
drew in the musky smell of his cologne, never so glad to see another person. Austin. She breathed against his skin, right there in his arms. Right there, she was safe. For a few heartbeats, she soaked up the essence that was Austin. In another world, another time and place, a life that didn't exist, she could remain in his arms forever. She eased out of his embrace. Thanks for finding us. She could guess why he was here. He hadn't stopped watching out for her. Any other time, she might be frustrated with him. There was someone in the warehouse. Is he gone?
Yes, he got away. Austin shined the light over her face and body and then Dana's. Are you all right? Did he hurt you?
Willow shook her head. No, we hid in the closet. I was about to call 911.
I already did, but we need to get out of here. I smell gasoline. I think he intended to light another fire.
Oh, no. Willow looked at Dana. We haven't finished here. We need to get all these files out before someone tries to destroy them.
Austin glanced at his watch. Can't move anything until we get the go-ahead. We don't want to mess with any evidence that could lead us to this guy. But we don't want files destroyed either. Let me make sure the premises are safe first.
Willow allowed Austin to take her hand and lead her through the splintered door, revealing his desperation to find her. The image acted like a gentle breath on the spark in her heart.
Stand right here. After we make sure it's safe to do so, I don't want to start a fire. I'm going to turn on the breaker, along with all the lights both outside and inside.
What would have happened to them if he hadn't shown up? Would the warehouse be burning now? She and Dana trapped inside, awaiting their fate?
The fluorescent lighting flickered back to life in the main office, and the back portion of the warehouse lit up as well. Since Willow never turned on those lights, the man could have been hiding back there for who knew how long. They'd locked the doors when they arrived to prevent unwanted guests. Had he been there when they arrived? Surprised at their sudden appearance, but waiting for his chance to burn the place down and escape? She shuddered. Austin jogged back to them, then led them through the steel door to the outer foyer.
Watch for the glass in here. I'm sorry, I had to destroy so many doors to get inside.
They carefully picked their way around the shards as they stepped through what remained of the glass door. Once outside, he gripped Willow's shoulders.
Let me make sure it's safe for you. Just stay right here near the doorway. I figure this guy is long gone by now, but I don't want to take any chances. Stay alert.
He held his gun at low ready as he disappeared around the side of the building. At least the lights cast away the darkness. Like Austin had said, the guy was probably gone. Who was he? Next to her, Dana still shook. Willow grabbed Dana's arm and held her close. It's going to be okay. Austin's here. I hate to say this, but I was glad to see him. I just wonder where my Stan is. Irritation mingled with worry in her tone. If he and Phil had been here installing the security system, this wouldn't have happened. Austin returned, giving them a start.
Let's go.
Where are we going? Willow asked.
To wait inside my car until the police arrive.
He led them past Dana's vehicle and across the street to his car, where he helped them get inside. Austin climbed in as well and locked the doors. He started the car.
Wait,
what about the gasoline? We need to move the files. What if he planted a bomb or something to ignite a fire?
They're not worth your life.
The look in his gray eyes turned dark. You're not going back in there. The police will be here soon, and when they get here, you need to tell them everything.
I asked for the detective who will be investigating JT's death. This has to be involved with his death and the house fire. We'll get the files when they tell us we're free to do so.
Dana sighed heavily from the back seat.
Finally, Stan is texting me. I told him what happened. They're on their way. Phil just had to show him his new boat.
Don't blame him, Dana. We had no idea someone would be so bold as to attack while we were both there. But I'm thinking that we surprised the guy. He was there when we got there, maybe planned to burn it down, but then we showed up. He was trying to make a silent escape when he knocked something over and we heard it.
I don't get it. If he wanted to destroy the files, why not burn the warehouse down last night on the same night as the house? Why wait?
Dana asked. That's easy. Austin shifted to peer down the street, hoping for the police. He thought he could end the search for Jamie with Willow's death. He looked at Willow, his meaning drilling down into her. She hugged herself, wishing the nightmare would end.
That makes some kind of sick sense, Dana said. It scares me. If you hadn't shown up tonight, he might have succeeded in burning the warehouse down with us inside. That brings me to my question. Why were you there, Austin? Dana asked.
Willow isn't safe until this is over. I kept hoping she would call me, but until she did, I planned to watch over her anyway.
Willow couldn't have been more grateful. How could she ever thank the guy?
I was sitting in the car tonight watching and waiting. I didn't see anyone go inside, so I think Willow is on to something. He was already here when you arrived.
We'll know better next time, Willow said.
So what happened? What made you come looking for us?
The lights went out.
Not just the lights, but the security light, too. When you didn't come out, I knew something was wrong. I broke through the doors. Whoever was in there came running toward the door. Before he got away, he tried to take me out. I would have gone after him, but I had to find you first. You could have been seriously injured.
I couldn't live with myself if something happened to you, Willow.
You either, Dana.
Neither could I, Dana spoke from the back seat.
That's why I am hiring you to protect Willow. You're doing the work anyway, aren't you?
Willow had considered hiring him to assist in the investigation. Coming from Dana, the decision to hire him for protection surprised her.
Don't I have a say in this?
Of course you do.
Austin opened the car door and held her with a look.
The police are coming. Stay here.
Without waiting for her reply, he got out and shut the door. She remembered he hadn't wanted to be hired, but rather he wanted to help her as a friend. But Willow had made it clear that she would hire him to keep their relationship purely professional. However, her reaction to him when he'd found them in the warehouse said otherwise.
Looks like he's taking the job, Dana said.
Willow crossed her arms. First you don't like him and do everything to nudge him away, and now you want to hire him?
Maybe if he'd been with us tonight in the warehouse, this wouldn't have happened in the first place. It's obvious he still cares about you, and I'm not sure I trust anyone else to protect you.
Dana chuckled.
I can't believe I'm saying any of this, but you're family to me. I care about you. You need someone who cares as much as Austin does and has the skills to protect you. He came through for you tonight. For us, Willow.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Had JT ever been involved in anything so utterly dangerous before? What would he want her to do? She honestly didn't know. He might want something different for his granddaughter, like safety and security. But as for JT, if he were still alive, he would see this through to the end. She could think of no better example in life or in this specialty consulting business. The night before, she'd cowered as flames engulfed the house around her. Tonight, she'd hidden in a closet, fearing for her life. She was done cowering, done hiding. This experience had messed with her psyche, but she would find the strength to keep going. Uniformed officers searched the warehouse both inside and out. Austin stood by a police cruiser and talked with an officer in plain clothes, a detective, as if he'd known the guy for years. Austin had a friendly way about him, just like JT. He gestured back toward his car and to them. Two more vehicles approached.
a fire department patrol truck, and a blue Silverado.
Stands here, Willow said.
Oh, thank God! Dana fled the car and rushed to her husband.
Willow squeezed the door handle and mumbled to herself, it's time to talk to the police.
Feeling the wariness of the last 48 hours in her bones, she approached Austin and the detective and introduced herself. He shook her hand.
I'm Detective Murdoch. Can you tell me what happened, Miss Anderson?
Nodding, Willow composed herself.
Dana and I were here gathering information about a project we're working on. Downloading information from the computer, we were afraid the same person who burned down my house, who killed JT, might come for the warehouse next.
Officer Murdoch shared a look with Austin. She hesitated before continuing.
It's okay, Willow. I told him this could be a part of the larger case and linked to JT's death. Just tell him what happened here tonight.
Willow appreciated Austin talking to him first. She didn't relish repeating the whole story and shared her part.
Let me make sure I understand. You think he was already in the warehouse when you arrived and surprised him. You believe this is part of the FBI cold case your grandfather was working on.
Detective Murdoch wrote in his notepad.
Yes, Willow said. Stan approached with Dana, though they stood back a few feet from Willow, Austin, and the detective.
But you said it sounded like he was searching for you.
He could have wanted to hurt us or tie us up or something and take the files. I don't know.
His eyes dark, Austin crossed his arms.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Anderson. I'd like to talk to the woman who was with you.
That's me, Dana said. I'm Dana Cooper.
The detective stepped aside away from Austin and Willow to speak with Dana. Willow tried to catch her breath. Two nights in a row, she'd found herself in a precarious situation. Austin remained close, protection emanating from him. What she could really use right now was a good long hug. But she refused to give in to that desire.
I keep wondering what would have happened tonight if JT hadn't called you to begin with. If you hadn't...
She couldn't say it. Couldn't finish the sentence. Come back into my life.
The outcome would be the same.
He kept his voice low. She lifted her eyes to study his strong jaw. Lips that had called her name tonight, infusing her with hope and something entirely forbidden. She'd kissed those lips before.
What do you mean?
Zena Helms texted me about the fire. You worked on a project for her grandmother, remember? I came to check on you in the hospital. That had nothing at all to do with JT's call. Once I knew you were in danger, well, you couldn't get rid of me so easily.
Austin's strength drew her closer. She couldn't help herself. She leaned into him and he wrapped his arms around her as if he'd known what she'd wanted all along, as if he'd wanted the same thing.
Now, we need to get you someplace safe.
Which meant she couldn't stay with Dana and her family. Though she'd already put Dana in harm's way, she wouldn't put her or her family in more danger. Willow hoped she hadn't already done just that.
I'm not sure any place will be safe until we find who's responsible, she said.
Let the police do their jobs.
Sure, they can do their jobs, but in the meantime, I'm doing mine, and I'm searching for Caitlin's missing child.
I'm going to find her, Austin. I'm going to find Jamie Mason, and I need you to help. It's what JT would have wanted.
She saw the question in Austin's eyes.
But is it what you want, Willow?
That shouldn't matter to either of them.
Maybe she'd always have a thing for Austin. But she'd spent her life uncovering the past, metaphorically digging up dead people and sometimes their secrets, too. Austin had gone to great pains to hide his past and secrets, and that had caused conflict between them before. Her digging into his life, her curiosity about his history, had only pushed him away.
Chapter 15. Wednesday, 12:31 p.m., Austin's apartment,
Seattle, Washington. Austin hiked up the steps, lugging the box of files to his second-floor apartment, located in a gated community in northeast Seattle. Despite the cool mist of a gray-skied Seattle day, sweat beaded his brow. He'd moved here when he'd taken the position with the FBI as a field agent. A new lease on life, as it were. The only hiccup in that plan happened a year later. He'd gone to see his father, and after a heated argument, the man had died in a car accident. Austin couldn't even remember what they'd argued about. At the memory, he nearly stumbled on the steps but caught himself in time. Willow trudged behind him carrying one of her own boxes, the last one that contained information regarding their search for Jamie Mason. The police had finished processing the warehouse scene, looking for prints and other evidence that might lead them to the person who had burned down Willow's house or driven the car that killed JT. This morning, Willow had been allowed to retrieve the office files for safekeeping. He'd helped her move all the other client files to a secure storage facility while Dana waited with Stan for the security system to finally be installed at the warehouse. Too little too late if they asked Austin. Security could have prevented last night's debacle. They'd spent the morning deep in manual labor because Willow couldn't bear to part with JT's forensic genealogy work or allow someone to destroy it. Everything of value was being removed. He didn't blame her. Besides, someone might request additional information in the future. Once the police put this criminal behind bars, if Willow chose to move everything back and work from the warehouse office, the security system would be in place. Exhaustion from the last two grueling days clawed at him as he peered over his shoulder. Just one more step. He took the last one, then hefted the boxed files to his side as he approached the maroon door and opened it for Willow. He stood to the side and waited. She'd pulled her long, dark tangles into a ponytail that swung as she carried the box through the door ahead of him, her hazel eyes sliding to him as she passed. In his apartment, she hefted the box onto the dining table next to a couple of others. Austin closed the door and unloaded his haul next to hers. He knew that look in her eyes. She was on a mission, albeit a dangerous one. Better that look than the haunted look of defeat he'd seen on her face in the hospital after the fire. She tried opening the taped box with her fingers. Got a box cutter?
No, but I have Dr. Pepper.
Your favorite. How crazy was it that he'd stocked up on it yesterday? He couldn't have known she would be here with him. His subconscious gave away what he thought he'd buried. Her eyes brightened with appreciation. That worked for him.
Let's take a 5-minute break.
He wished they could have 2 weeks to rest up before diving in, but time was a luxury. All right. In the rarely used kitchen, he grabbed the scissors in lieu of a box cutter, took a couple of sodas from the fridge, then opened them, trying not to think about the last time Willow had been here with him in this apartment. So much had happened since then. The memories pricked him. He headed back into the living room. Though it was an open floor plan, the kitchen, living, and dining rooms, all part of one big space. With her back to him and her hands on her hips, she eyed his unintentionally minimalist apartment. He paused, taking her in. Running shoes and a bright blue hoodie over form-fitting jeans, ready to tackle the world. Where did she get her energy, especially after all she'd been through? Like JT, Willow was a force to be reckoned with. It would take any normal person a week, no, a month or more, to rest and get over what had happened. But not Willow. Her presence, her inner strength, had him wishing for more with her. Had him reaching for the past. He'd honed his skills at compartmentalizing everything, including the past, which he slung away to be dealt with never. But being so near Willow, involved in her life like this, could dismantle the carefully placed cubicles. She yanked the band out of her silky hair, letting it fall to her mid-back, and weaved her fingers through, then secured it into the ponytail again. His pulse inched up.
Unable to speak, he cleared his throat. She whipped around in surprise and smiled. He held out the Dr. Pepper, which she quickly took from his hand. After a swig, she returned her attention to the paintings he'd snagged from starving artist sales. Grand Teton. Didn't every dentist office in the country feature that one? Another of the Yellowstone River. Nothing so personal as a family photograph lying around to reveal his past. Yet, with those paintings, he'd managed to give himself away.
You never were much for decorating, but I'm glad you finally put something up.
Yeah, something. Other than the DP, my refrigerator's empty. If you want lunch, we'll have to order takeout or grab some fast food.
All that work this morning gave me an appetite. Let's order in. We can dig through the files while we eat.
He'd hoped to distract her from the paintings, but she lingered. He knew exactly what she was thinking.
Why did Austin pick these paintings?
Studying photographs remained an important part of her work as a genealogist. And somehow after years of it, she might even fancy herself being able to profile people. There was no doubt one could learn a lot about a person from their photographs, but he hadn't put any on his walls. Certain aspects of his life he wanted to forget or, at the very least, keep private. And yet he'd been drawn to those paintings. Reminders. What had he been thinking? He hadn't. Nor had he expected his paintings to bring them full circle, back to their relationship issues. But maybe he was completely wrong and Willa wasn't thinking about that. After all, she hadn't asked him about the paintings, and that wasn't her usual M.O.
How about Chinese? He asked.
Perfect.
He pulled out his cell to make the call. She gave up on the paintings and took the scissors he'd found to cut open a box.
The sooner I figure this out, the better. She blinked up at him.
I mean, the sooner we figure it out, the better. Austin called the number for Ming's Chinese delivery, one of his staple takeout places. Willow's box cutting made too much noise, so he moved into the kitchen to place his order, then back to the small dining area. The box opened, she removed files and sat at the table to leaf through pages.
This is like nothing I've ever done before.
He grabbed his laptop and pulled up a chair next to her.
What do you mean? He asked as he sat down.
I'm usually either connecting the dead with the living,
or the living with the dead. But Caitlin is hoping I'll find her daughter alive.
It's like you said before. What if she's not? What if she died a long time ago?
Then Caitlin needs that closure.
Still, having to be the one to break that news was something to consider. They were in too far to go back now. He started to place his hand on her shoulder to comfort her, but thought it best to keep his distance for both their sakes.
You're not alone.
I'm here with you.
You can and will do this.
Thanks.
The word was barely a whisper as she stared at him with eyes that might see right through him if he'd let her.
For what?
For your encouragement. For sticking with me to help. For coming to my rescue last night.
You're welcome.
He couldn't have done anything less. They shared a look that lasted a few seconds longer than necessary. Then she returned her attention to the file on the table.
I hope Dana gets here soon.
She might be able to tell me more about what JT has already done.
I found out last night that he had requested the FBI files, so I have those. When her eyes shot to him, then back to the file before her, he hadn't missed the question in her eyes.
Why had JT needed his help?
Now it was his turn to second-guess what he was doing. If he told her how he'd failed while working on the CARD team, would she still want his help? Thinking about that failure could cripple him enough that he wouldn't be able to help Willow. But if he could help Willow find Jamie, maybe he could set things right, make peace with himself. If he told Willow about what had happened before, she might no longer want his help, and he needed this. He needed to help.
So, Austin, you were working with the CARD team, right?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Why?
What can you tell me about the stats on abducted babies? At least she hadn't asked him why he was no longer with the FBI. On his laptop, he pulled up statistics compiled from law enforcement agencies, including the FBI. She could have done that, but might not have known exactly where to look. He skimmed the information to jar his memory, but not too much. He read from the website, "Of the non-family member newborns that have been abducted since 1965, most were taken from healthcare facilities. Most were taken directly from the mother's room." Most? How many are we talking about? "Just over 300 babies have been abducted since 1965. How many have been found?" His throat constricted. "Most of them. 15 are still missing. One of those is Jamie Mason. 9 of them died at the hands of their abductor, either directly or indirectly." A few rocks closing off the cavern holding his pain fell away. No. No, he didn't want to feel that again. "Are you okay?" He shook it off. "Yeah, I'm sure we'll read about this in the FBI files, but to give you an overview of what the profile of a typical infant abductor looks like, again, I'm talking a non-family member, a stranger."
"Wait, why are you focusing on a non-family member?"
"I suspect that's what we're talking about here. The FBI would have already looked into anyone close to the mother who could have been involved in the abduction, since family abductions are the most frequent. If a family member had taken her, Jamie would have most likely been found not long after her abduction, but she wasn't."
"That makes sense.
But I'm speculating. Best if we just read the files. Things have changed a lot in 20 years. Now we have radio frequency identification tags for babies. The tag is secured to the baby's ankle with a band and makes it difficult to walk out without authorization. An alarm is triggered if the baby is taken outside of a designated area or the band is cut.
Like walking out of a department store with a stolen shirt, only it's a baby?"
"Exactly. Another big difference is that social media connects people and opens up the door for would-be abductors to befriend mothers on Facebook and other sites."
Social media hadn't had anything to do with the child abduction case that still haunted him. The abductor had come right through the front door without an invitation because they hadn't needed one. He'd needed to shut his memories down or else he'd be telling her all about his last child abduction case and the reason he'd left the FBI. Austin shoved away his past failures one more time. He'd better get good at it, considering their focus here. But dread filled him that Jamie Mason wouldn't be found alive. Wouldn't be found at all. And Willow might remain in danger. She handed him the file and grabbed a new one for herself, then quickly skimmed the documents.
Oh. Her brows lifted.
"Caitlin provided her DNA to JT for testing, just in case Jamie's shows up on a database somewhere. No hits on any of that as far as we know."
Austin read through the contents of the files from the FBI cold case, looking for anything that could help them. "Says here the authorities had an image from a hospital security camera, but it was grainy. Caitlin even had a conversation with her." He frowned. A pang hit his gut. The woman pretended to be a nurse and brought her a lunch plate. They had a short, friendly conversation. Makes me sick. He read further. "Back to the image. The authorities distributed the image in a massive investigation and search for the baby in Houston and all of Texas. The FBI and police pursued hundreds of leads. Searching for a woman who fit the profile of an infant abductor, they actively searched the community where Caitlin lived and around the hospital. The abductor might have visited nurseries and maternity units around the city. Looks like they did everything they could." Nausea began a slow churn in his gut. He rubbed his eyes. Could he do this? Could he follow through? He really didn't want to be like his father, who'd thrown his life away because of tragedy. He needed to make a change, see this through to the end.
Even with all their efforts, they came up empty-handed. Willow yawned, then peered at the copy of the grainy image. Frankly, this could be anyone. Anyone at all.
Willow, like her grandfather, was more determined than most. But even Austin saw how completely hopeless this was. Why had JT thought